For your journey in life, you need direction from the Master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi-Adams.
Thank you at all for this privilege given to me. I also want to appreciate the team of pastors, Pastor Mint, Pastor Ebenezer. Thank you for supporting. And I also appreciate everyone seated here. You took your time. You've gone to church this morning. Some of us have gone for two churches. And we are in the third church service. And you are still here. May God reward us mightily in the name of Jesus. Chances, choices, and consequences. Now, the first thing I would want us to know is, whatever I want to say might have been something you have heard before. We have read Genesis to Revelation. We have attended things. But one thing we should know is that the word of God is new every day. God speaks every day. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 can mean 1 million things to one person 1 million times. It could be God telling you that in the beginning he created the heaven and the earth. It could be God telling you that he's able to create something in your life. It could be God giving you a direction that a new business is coming out of what looks shapeless and formless. So basically what I want us to know is, please don't size me up by what I'm saying. But let the Spirit of God rest upon your heart and teach you by himself. Now the aim of this program, Chances, Choices and Consequences, we'll be looking at family, finance and function. Family, finance and function. The aim of this program is to bring us into a deeper understanding of what God expects of us with respect to our family, finance and function. What God expects of us. God has expectations from you and I concerning your family, concerning your finance and concerning your function. Now when we talk about family here, we are referring to relationship. The first form of relationship we are looking at is the relationship between man and God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 and 7. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 and 7. That which we have seen and that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And then verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sins. So God has expectations concerning your relationship with him. Like this morning we were taught that God is a jealous lover. God is one that seeks attention. So when it is God, zoom on God. If it is not God, let even God. Apostle, he said if he wants to serve the devil, he will serve the devil to an extent that even God will testify that he is serving the devil. But if he wants to serve God to an extent that even the devil knows that this one is serving God. So God has expectations concerning our relationship with him. And before we continue with our hearts bow, our eyes closed, it's a privilege of God this evening again to reconcile one person back to him. In case your relationship with him is shaky, in case your relationship with him is up today, down tomorrow, there is grace available tonight. Can you just speak to God that, Lord, I rededicate myself to you. The Bible says he has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Perhaps there's anyone here who has not accepted Jesus fully as a call of heaven to us tonight, that God desires a relationship with you. You are a member of his family. If you are out of the fold, God wants us to bring us together into that fold. And in case you have the relationship with him, there is grace to come up hither. The book of Revelation, John was speaking, he said he heard a voice saying, come up hither. There is grace to come up hither. So just tell God, you know the level you are in, talk to God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The second relationship we are looking at under family is marital / marriageable relationships. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 to 25. Marital / marriageable relationships. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 to 25. The Bible speaking, it says, and God said, it is not good for man to be alone. paraphrasing, and God brought different animals to see Adam called them. That is the name they were bearing. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet suitable for him. And Bible says God caused Adam to sleep. That is God telling us, or telling someone this evening, that he wants you to sleep so that he can bring your Eve to you. Sometimes we are just so worried, our mind is so occupied. God, is it this one? You see A, is it A? You see B, is it B? But God is saying, I want you to sleep. Sleep here is God is saying, I want you to totally depend on me. He is able to direct you to the one. God is not expecting us as believers to do trial and error. We are not to test the waters. When you try and test the water might carry the person away. But God is saying to somebody, whether somebody this evening that sleep, he is able to do it. The Bible says that whatsoever we commit to God, he is able to keep. So keep, commit that relationship to God. Commit that your heart's desire to God, and he's able to bring it to you. And the third relationship we'll be looking at is our social relationships. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Social relationships. Every man is a social being. No relation. We were made to depend on one another. Your destiny is attached to destiny, and that person's destiny is attached to another person's destiny. Amos 3:3 said, can two work together except they be agreed? So you are not an island. The way they say no man is an island of no. You are not meant to be in isolation. You are not a closed system. You are an open system that is supposed to have exchange with somebody else. Our sociable are we? Some of us are not sociable, even in church, among the brethren. You just wave from afar. Some don't even wave at all. After service, they are rushing home. How sociable are you? We make relationships on daily basis. We meet people on daily basis. It is expected that by the wisdom of God. Then the first relationship we'll be looking at is business relationships. Business relationships. I think during the last conference, Dominion Conference, Dominion Conference of Zion, I said it's an error as a businessman when you need to employ people. The first name that comes to your mind is Mustafa or Mohammed. When you need to employ somebody, you should be able to see an Ijeoma, you should be able to see a Jennifer, you should be able to see around that you can enter the person's hand, and the person will not fail you. Yes, we know they say it's not good to do business with church people because if they eat your money, you'll not do your business very well. Because we are church members, we cannot fight. But it's a call to us that we should work on ourselves, that when I have a business relationship, when I have a business, when I have a proposal, I'm not thinking of somebody outside the church. I'm not a minister, okay, Chukwu, that can do this, and I can sleep and say he did it, and everybody can testify to it that he did it well. Hallelujah. So we must establish business relationships, and God has expectations concerning our business relationships. God will not be happy when a brethren, a fellow in the church, commits his business to your hand and it fails. He expects that when he commits his business into your hand, through you, that business should boom, not come to doom. And then lastly, on that relationship, we'll be looking at every profitable relationship. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1, then Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. 1 Samuel 18, 1, Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Hallelujah. Every profitable relationship. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 1 Samuel 18 verse 1 talked about David. The Bible says, and Jonathan's heart is so with that of David. So, we have profitable relationships. Now, look within you. Look at your contacts in your mind. Look within you. These relationships, you are profitable are they to your life. It's wrong gathering contacts, and the contacts are profitable. What is the essence of chatting? Hi, hello, hi, hello, what's up? You sleep, you wake up, and there's nothing profitable about it. So God expects that in our relationships should be profitable to him and to us. We should have a mutual profiting, not that you are a parasite depending on one person and eating up the person. When Bible says iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. That when you sanction me in return. God has expectations concerning our relationships. Now we are looking at finance. Remember, chances, choices, and consequences will be covering family, finance, and function. Finance here refers to money. God has expectations towards our finances. He has expectations towards our finances. Number one, he expects that we acknowledge him as the source of our finance. Yes, that we acknowledge him as the source of our finance. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18 said, he is the one that gives us power to get wealth. And Joel chapter 2 verse 26, he said, you shall eat in plenty. So God expects that we should acknowledge him as the source of every money that comes into our. We know he will use ideas. He's the one that gives us the brain. He's the one that gives us the ideas. He's the one that puts it in the heart of somebody to bless you. Hallelujah. I think this morning in this membership class, I was telling them that man can only lift you to his limits. And then because man is naturally selfish, he won't even lift you to his limits. He will lift you to a point a little bit lower than him so that he can still be the boss over you. It takes a man that is a believer to lift you to the same level he is. But when God lifts, he lifts limitlessly. So we must acknowledge that he is the source of every money that enters our hands. He is the source of our finance. Number two, we must prioritize him and his interest above our finances. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. Luke chapter 16 verse 13. Matthew 6:33. The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. You serve one or you serve the other. The Bible says no man can serve God and mammon. So you must prioritize him and his interest. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. So until you seek him first, you are not qualified for the addition of every other thing. So we must seek him and seek his interest if our finance must be used profitably. Number three, he expects us to invest, to save, and not eat all. God expects us to invest. He expects us to save and not to eat all that enters our hands. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 41 verse 36. Someone should read for us. Genesis chapter 41 verse 36. And then Exodus chapter 16 verse 23 to 24. Genesis 41 36. Mine. Thank you, ma. The food shall be stored for the land, shall be stored to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Then Exodus chapter 16, verse 23 to 24. The Bible said, let me paraphrase it. God told them to save the manna against the Sabbath day, where he will not send manna. And the Bible said the manna didn't spoil. Unlike other times when he will tell them, the one you gather for today, finish it today. But this time around, he told them to save for the Sabbath, the day it won't fall, and it was preserved. So God has expectations from our finance. He expects that we invest. See, it's not today money started failing. The Bible talked about the land of Egypt. He said, our money failed. So it's not today money start failing. I saw a post of someone, he said, gas is now 720, that he sold the cylinder to them at the gas station, and he's looking for where to buy firewood. It's not today money started failing. Money has been failing since. Just the same way headsmen have been looking for trouble since the time of Isaac. But God expects that even that thing that comes into your hand, you shouldn't eat it all. Hallelujah. It's not just saving. Investing. Invest profitably. Look for profitable ventures and invest your finance into it. I think on Friday at work, Kate is a witness, when the admin was saying many, many things. He said, you might see him now. You might not see 2,000 naira in his account. But that does not mean that when he needs money, he won't get. Because he has assets and strategic positions according to him that he can dispose of and get the money. You, when they say they need 50 naira now, where can you get it from? Hallelujah. God expects that we invest. As he's blessing us, he's not blessing us that no. The Bible says that the path of the righteous is the shining light that shineth brighter and brighter. It's not that he's saying that tomorrow I might not give you money, but he's saying that it is wisdom that in the one I give you today, save for tomorrow. That savings that you are saving for tomorrow might not even be for you. It might be for somebody that will connect to you, for you to help that person. It might be for your children. Hallelujah. So God expects that we invest, we save, and we should not eat all that enters into our hands. Then number four, realize that your finance is not for you only. Realize that your finance is not for you only. They say a pipe that allows water flow through it will not suffer of thirst. You are not a dam, you are a channel through which he wants to reach out to others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not a storage tank. When he's giving you that money, he doesn't expect you to store it. He's giving you that breakthrough because he will soon connect someone to you that needs that breakthrough. And then when you help that person, he will connect another person to that person. This life is a chain system. No wonder this money, Apostle said, four generations, that Paul committed it to Timothy. Timothy is to commit to others that we commit to others. The same thing with our finance. God is committing, is entrusting money into your hand. Because very soon, if they are not around you yet, he will soon bring them around you, that you will be a blessing to them. And as you avail yourself as a pipe through which he is quenching their thirst, you will also be satisfied. And then when they also avail themselves, he will use them to quench someone's thirst. And before you know it, the world goes smooth. Hallelujah. Now, on function. Function here refers to our purpose. In other words, in chances, stresses, and consequences, we'll be looking at our relationships, our money, and our purpose. So function here refers to purpose. We should realize that God is not man. He cannot spend his time making you beautifully, wonderfully, and fearfully, and don't give you something. He has expectations from you. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43 verse 21 in the Message version. Anyone there with Message version? The people I made specially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. He customized you for a purpose. You are customized for a purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 said, even before you were formed in the womb, I knew thee and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. So he has an assignment for you. And then the first step in discovery of purpose is salvation. Until a man is saved, he will keep journeying in a cycle. Until a man is saved, he will keep joining the cycle. But at the point of salvation, as you keep pressing deep into him, he keeps unveiling what he expects of you. So God has expectations from you and I. May we not fail him in Jesus' name. Then we look at chances, stresses, and consequences properly. Please, tonight is just an introduction. Subsequently, it will get better. The word chances, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. Chances, here we talk about opportunities, privileges, and lots. Every man has a chance to life. Every man has a chance to wealth. Every man has a chance to live in. Everything, every opportunity around, you have a chance to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, please.
Return and saw under the sun that the race is not of the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skills, but time and chance happeneth to them all.
Time and chance happeneth to them all. You have a chance for anything that you want to do. They are available. As you wake up in the morning, opportunities are staring at you. You wake up in the morning, privileges are staring at you, lots are staring at you, wherever you go to. Chances are there. You have a chance to make it or to make it. You have a chance to excel or to excel. So, you have chances. The same 24 hours you have. It's the same 24 hours somebody lesser than you has. It's the same 24 hours somebody higher than you has. We all have the same 24 hours. No man has 24 hours to power 2 hours for a day. Hallelujah. Then when we look at choice, we talk about options, alternatives, and preferences. There won't be choices. There will not be choice to make if you don't have options. If you don't have a chance. It's because you have a chance. That is why you can choose. You can choose to excel. You can choose not to excel. I wrote here, I said, not making a choice is a choice already. Just the same way indecision is a decision. inaction is an action. So when you wake up in the morning and you don't make a choice to be great, you have made a choice already. When you wake up in the morning, you don't make a choice to do something or not to do something. It's a choice already. Choices means options, alternatives, and preferences. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. Then 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. Quickly, someone. Then 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21.
Hallelujah. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long had he between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word.
Thank you, sir. The people answered him not a word. In 1 Kings chapter, okay, that's 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21. Joshua 24, 15 said, as for me and my family, say, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we serve the Lord. The Bible is a book of options. The Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can decide to believe in him. You can decide to say you don't want to believe in him. The choice is yours to make. Every promise that God has given us in the scripture is a choice. You can decide that there are things to do to get the promise. So doing it means you will get the promise. Not doing it means you forfeit the promise. So the Bible itself is a book that has made choices available to us. Job chapter 36 verse 11 to 12. Job 36 verse 11 to 12. We must realize that whatever we do to the chances that present themselves to us is our choice. Whatever you do, Job 36, 11 to 12.
If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge.
It's balanced. Thank you, ma. If you obey, you get this. If you do not obey, you get this. The choice is yours to make. The Holy Spirit will not strive with you. In book of Genesis, it says, Spirit will no longer strive with man. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come into him. If he doesn't open, I will go my way. So God will not enforce you. He has made available good things for us, but we not come and say, by fire, by force, you must get this good thing. He gave man will. And that will is what controls our choices. Hallelujah. Then we look at consequences. Consequences means the aftermath or the result of your actions. Now, these three follows themselves. You have a chance. You have a choice to make in the chance that presents itself to you. And then you have a consequence for the choices you make. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Consequences means aftermath or result of actions. Now we must understand that there is a follow-up or year after to whatsoever we do or we do not do. There is a follow-up to it. Life does not leave us neutral. When you do it, life will give you the answer to doing it. When you don't do it, life will still give you the answer to doing it, to not doing it. So we have consequences for everything we do. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, then Revelation chapter 22 verse 12. Revelation 22 12 says, behold I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. God is a perfect payer. You know, Apostle used to say something. He would say, God is justice system. We watch him enforce whatever supposed to happen. When you do it right, in his love, he will enforce it that the reward comes. And when the person still does it wrong, still in his love, he will enforce it that the person gets it. You know, I used to say something. I say, even those in hellfire, they will go to hellfire because God is a God of love. He's a just God. He won't say because this person has sinned and is fair in complexion. But even as they are going, he loves everybody everywhere. So even in hellfire, it doesn't change him that God is love. But the consequence is the choice they made here on earth. So I would want us to know, as we have known already, that life presents chances to us. And the consequences don't end with us. No, Apostle used to say something. We said some things are transgenerational. What you do now has a way of, it's a ripple effect. You will gain it, your children will gain it, and your children's children will gain it. Perhaps whatever you are going through now could be as a result of the choice you made yesterday. Not even perhaps, whatsoever it is that you are going through now is as a result of the choice you made yesterday. Whatsoever you will experience in the future is a product of the choice you are making now. So make it right. Hallelujah. Now, for a young person who might be going through process, whatsoever process it is you are going through, realize that it's a choice you made. If it's a process to be great, and it looks as if the Lord is taking you through the furnace of affliction, it was your choice, so it didn't force you that you should want to be great. He told you, I need you in ministry. You could have told him, God, like Apostle said, he said, God told him, if you take the job, he will give you an Ishmael. He chose not to take the job. If he has still chosen to take the job, the Ishmael will come and God is still love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we must, what to do about our chances, choices, and consequences? Number one, you should know that if you don't do it now, life has a way of either halting you or taking you back to where you will do it. Hallelujah. What I mean is, we might say some people are making it in a hurry, but life is just waiting for them. It will make them journey and come back to take that exam of life that they didn't take initially. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Life has a way of either pausing the person at that junction where you did not take the right step, or allow the person to look as if he is progressing and then bring the person back to that step to come and make that choice. Hallelujah. That's why they said those in hellfire pray more. Whatever they didn't do on earth, the mercy and repentance they didn't seek for on earth, when they go to hell, they will start seeking for that mercy and repentance. It's just that it becomes too late. So it means that whatsoever choice to be great that you didn't, that one person did not take now, life has a way of bringing that person to that spot. Nobody jumps an exam of life. There's no double promotion. It's just that our classes are different and our ability and capacity to write the exam is different. It's not a double promotion. The person is sharp, is aligned with God. God makes the exam. The exam comes, but there's a grace to write the exam and pass once. The person is not sharp, does not align to God, is looking for shortcuts. Life will say, go ahead, I will still bring the exam at one point. And most times, it will bring it at a point where the answer is no longer in the head. Hallelujah. So if you don't do it now, if you don't make the right choice now, you will still make it. But it might be at a time when it is late. Hallelujah. Now, if our parents had the kind of marriage they have now, like, look at your family. Let me look at my family. If they have the kind of marriage they have now, and you have the Holy Ghost in you, it means you have a better privilege of having a better marriage than your parents. Personally, when we were doing our marriage counseling, my pastor's wife asked me, she said, what did you learn from your family that you were taking to marriage? I told her nothing. She said, no, not nothing. That learning is two ways. You can either learn what to do or what not to do. So the choice of what to learn is yours. So Nana told her, okay, what I learned from my father is you must love academics. She said, that's one thing to learn. But when I got home, I actually sat down and thought about it truly. You are either learning what to do from somebody or you are learning what not to do from the person. Those are chances. Whether you learn what to do or what not to do is your choice. But then you should know that whatever choice you make, there is a consequence to it. Hallelujah. Now, because today is our marriage anniversary, we'll take a look at marital relationships quickly and just drop a few points. Apostle will help us as a backup. In case you have questions, Apostle is here to answer. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. Number one, you have a will and should be able to hear God for yourself. You have a will and should be able to hear God. You know, Apostle says nobody can prophesy money out of his pocket. The same way nobody should be able to prophesy marriage into your life. I prophesy to you, this is your husband. You have a will. No, I have some spiritual sons in Mina that will tell me physical does not matter. It's spiritual. They are looking for spiritual capacity. Physical matter very well. You know, there's a lady I stayed with as I went to Mina. Apostle knows her. Our husband does not like fat people. As a matter of fact, it was this last time I went to school, I had even till a day before the marriage, he told her, you are not my spec, it's just your character I like. When I heard it, I told the person telling me that one day we meet both his spec plus the character. So when he meets both the spec he's not a John 3:16 somebody, he's not a religious person. So when he meets both his spec plus the character, There's something, and the lady too, she's one that received inspiration from club to go for Apostle Selma. So, you are not spiritual, our guy is not spiritual, and he's a lecturer, so he will meet his spec plus character. So please, physical is important, and also the same Mina, there's somebody I still met that is very thin, and the guy she wants to marry does not like thin people, yet he wants to marry her. Then he will end up putting frustration on her. Start eating hamburger, start eating peanut so that you'll be fat. See, brothers, if you don't like a physical look, Apostle said, it's not only prayer you'll be praying at home. If you don't like a physical look, if she cannot work on it now, the tendency of working on it later is slim. Okay, like that my friend, she said, the guy said, her introduction, she was looking slimmer. How come on wedding day, she's looking fatter? Imagine that. And then I told her, I said, when you are pregnant, you will double in size. They will expand door for you. And when you are breastfeeding, oh my God. She was like, you see, he told her to be doing exercise by force, like early morning exercise. And I told her, by the time you start doing exercise, you don't know when you will be pregnant. You should not go and use exercise to terminate your pregnancy. So it's while her loose on the lady's life. Please, physical is very important. You have a willow. If she's fair in complexion and they are prophesying a dark person to you, so that you will not force her to start using bleaching cream later. You have a will. The physical is important. Now, we must not depend on only the physical. The spiritual controls the physical, but don't forget that the physical is important. And the ladies too. Tall, dark, rich, and handsome. Holy Ghost talking. Don't form spiritual that is only Holy Ghost talking. Kate knows of one of our executives, supposed to know him. We were thinking they would marry. Later, I was hearing, she said she don't like his physical look. She don't like his physical appearance. So she let him go and follow somebody she liked. Don't say because they have been seeing us together, we are doing couple to Shekinah Encounter Center. We will blend. We might not blend. So let's unblend the blending now so that we'll go and meet our blending separately. Hallelujah. If you like them short, there is a short spiritual sister for you. If you like them tall, there's a tall spiritual sister for you. If you like them portable, there's a portable spiritual sister for you. So don't say you like them portable, that you go for petite spiritual. You will only end up putting the lady under pressure. I don't like fat people, and I don't like somebody that I'm taller than. So I went for somebody that is taller than. I have never liked somebody of the same height with me. I want to be looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And I don't like somebody fast that we're walking on the road. You have balance brought forward. I don't like balance brought forward. So if he tells me 6 packs or 6 cars, my sister, which one will you follow? Somebody says 6 packs. Follow the 6 packs. So that's number one. Then number two, pray ahead of your relationships. Pray ahead of your relationships. Okay, let me also say this. Before service, when I was in school, maybe because of Yoruba movie, I don't know, I had always had it in mind that I was going to have opposition to my marriage. But I was always thinking the opposition to my marriage would be on finance matter. That my father would say it's not from a rich home, he cannot marry him. So in my head, I had the answer. Like, I didn't need the Holy Ghost. With Nollywood film, I had already planned that if my father said no, I would just faint. When I reached the hospital, I just said, the doctor, don't treat me. It's because of man I fainted. My father must have. But the devil was smarter than my English language. He came from another corner and he shook me and shook me and shook me. But the thing was that I had a word. Like, there were times I would call Apostle then and tell him, Shebi, you have not back out. He would say, I have not back out. I say, if you not back out, I have conviction that we will scale through. And we are married today. Kate is aware of everything. We are married today. So pray ahead of your relationships. Don't try to be logical about marriage is spiritual. Don't try to be logical about it. By human head, you can't solve the problem of marriage. But by the Holy Ghost, this morning Apostle was telling us that he's already in the future you are envisaging. So pray ahead of it. In other words, if you have not started praying now, as in now, you are late. Some of us have started praying. It might look like there's a little delay. But God is saying, keep waiting because the best is coming your way. Hallelujah. Yes, some people have started praying. Some people look like time is ticking. But God is a God that can collapse time for the sake of a man. There's a testimony of one of my aunties that for 9 years was trusting God for the fruit of the womb. When God gave her 3 plates at once. And then I asked myself, even if she did 2 years spacing, she should be having the third child now. Now we might look as if she was having the child from the beginning. Maybe one of the children will be about 8 years old. But what if she had given birth to an 8 years old epileptic or an 8 years old autistic child? God is a perfect master planner. He can collapse time for anybody. So keep praying. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I will keep praying. Then get a word from God for your relationship. As you pray, make sure it's not my pastor say my prayer, not my pastor say my marriage will be great. What is God telling you yourself? You know, Dr. Paul Adenche used to say something. He said the devil will not oppose you if you are going in his direction. But when that marriage is a marriage that will cause havoc to his kingdom, he will resist the union of the two of them. But at that moment of resistance, what is the word you are holding on to? What is the word you are holding on to? That a word that it might just be the old word, manner of love the Father has given unto you, that should be called. That might just be the word. It might not even be looking logically as if the word tally with marriage, but God is telling you something from it. Get a word for your marriage. I shared the testimony last week. I remembered when we were praying for our wedding. One day it was looking like everything was tight. Like somebody said something to me and I cried and cried and entered the room. I don't even know that place was in the Bible. I just heard, you will not see the wind. Neither will you see the rain, but the valley will be full of water. No, I didn't even hear the full. I just said, you will not see the wind, you will not see the rain. I picked my phone, I searched, I didn't see. The following morning I called the apostle. He told me 2 Kings 3:18. And then that word, I held on to it like my life depended on it. You will not see the wind. You will not see the rain. And the promise was that you will have enough water for you and for your cattle. As in, God did not say only for human beings. Even my animals, we have to testify from it. So get a word for your relationship. What is God telling you about that relationship you want to go into? Or you are already into? Or you are trusting Him for? What is God telling you? Is He telling you to go ahead? Is He telling you to pause? Is He telling you to retreat? Is He telling you to fire on? God always speaks. Apostle has taught us different ways through which God speaks to us. So get a word for you. Every relationship needs a word to back it up. Every relationship. When Pastor Mintz came to our house after birth of Zipporah, I was telling him, we were just discussing, and it dawned on me before marriage that words are powerful. Like, I can't even count how many times I listened to Tongues of Fire by Dr. Paul Adenche before giving birth. At a point in the labor room, when if it didn't hook me, some women would say, "Now so if they hook." I just told Kate, "Please give me earpiece." I blocked my ear. When we even got to the hospital Tuesday, my mouth was moving. One of the nurses was like, "Madam, you are praying." I say, "Yes." With earpiece. I didn't want to hear because I had a word that I am holding on to. And we are in a life where there is battle of words. Especially if you are even a melancholic, it makes it worse. On your own, you will start analyzing the word. Even what the person didn't intend to say, you will start breaking. I used to tell Apostle, when you are angry, don't talk. Because when I sit down, it might not be what you want to say. I might read one, you might just tell me, you are looking, I told Pastor Mintz, you can tell a lady dear, I mean Pastor Ebenezer, I can tell a lady dear, and she's not hearing dear, she's hearing my wife. And to you, it's just, "Hello dear, how are you doing?" But she's hearing, "Hello my wife, have you eaten today?" Especially if she's a melancholic, it makes it worse. So this life is a life of war between words. What is the word that you have held on to from God? What is the word? When people come and meet you and tell you the man is a prayer point, it is the word you have held on to, the word that God has spoken to you, your personal revelation about that relationship. You don't now, okay, while preparing, after marriage, Apostle gave me supernatural childbirth. I kept reading on it. Something the woman said was that when she was in the labor room, when the doctor said, "You need this," she would not look at him and say, "Doctor, I don't need it, I don't need it." She didn't go around telling everybody that I believe in supernatural childbirth. So that word that God has told you about a relationship is not that when we are gathering and gisting about cosmetics, you say, "Wait, do you know God told me this?" No. When the devil is looking like he wants to fight the relationship, you reply him with the word of God. When situation look like they are striving with your relationship, you reply back with the word of God. It's the word of God that has the potency for any solution you need. Hallelujah. So please, brothers, we sisters, we know how to analyze words very, very well. Please, say what you mean and mean what you say. If you are calling her dear, let it be dear for marriage. Don't call us dear when it's dear for Aburo me you are doing. Then, like I said earlier, I said, look at your family. Do you like the kind of family you came from? For some of us, it's no. Do you want to have the kind of family you came from? It might be yes for you, it might be no for you. But then, also look at your father and your mother's spirituality. Probably they married 32 years ago, 47 years ago. Their tongues is still the one they've been saying since then. No fresh anointing. But you can kabash. You have the Holy Ghost in his full dimension with you. Your marriage shouldn't be on the same level with the home you came out from. It should be an improvement. Because the Bible says that the path of the righteous is a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. So it's an error if my father's marriage of many years ago and my marriage that just clocked 1 year today are dragging. My marriage that just clocked 1 year today should be able to speak better and brighter, not because of the experience of years that he has, but because of the benefit of the Holy Ghost that I have. The Holy Ghost should be able to teach me what he didn't know. So look at the home you came out from. How proud are you of that home? And then look at the children that you will have. Do you want them to want that kind of home? Apostle used to say, he wants the brother to be beautiful like me. And me, I would tell him, I want the boys to be handsome like you. But what if I had married somebody that I didn't like? Will I want my sons to look like him? Will he want his wife, his daughter to look? Look at your family that you came from. Will you produce that kind of family? Would you want to reproduce such kind of family? Daddy, Holy Ghost fire. That's what it's prayer point that daddy knows. When you finish praying everything, the only thing will come at this. Holy Ghost! And then maybe we reply, fire. Holy Ghost! Fire. Is that the same thing you want to? If it's not the same thing you want, then it calls for work. Or a family where, like Apostle said this morning, when everything is looking rosy, daddy withdraws from morning devotion. Mommy withdraws. Their morning devotion becomes dry. But when the devil just gives more heat, all of us gather together and hold our hands for prayer. Is that the same thing you want? Or you want a home where the devil is scared to come close? Or do you want a home where there was a day somebody was knocking at the door and Apostle told me to go and check and I told him, who is the man in the house? Like, at night somebody is knocking, you are saying, you want to give me hypertension. And the way the person even knocked, you want to sympathize for something that was missing and you knocked with force. So, do you want that kind of man that, or you want a man that in the night, there was a night I felt someone's hand on my head. I did not do as if I knew he was praying. I continued my sleeping and my snoring. In the morning he was now asking, do you know that I prayed for you? How will I not know that you prayed for me? Is that not a good kind of man? A man that even when I'm taking paracetamol, I'll tell him, pray over the paracetamol. Because I know it's not just the paracetamol, it's God walking through the paracetamol. So please look at your home. Now, for some of us, our homes are very rosy. There is room to improve on that rosiness. If there's an English like that. For some of us, our mothers are the perfect expression of what we want in a wife. For the ladies, there is room to improve upon that. For some of us, our homes are so peaceful that you wish you can marry you can become your father and marry your mother. There is room for improvement on that. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. So at this moment, for the next 10-15 minutes, we're open for Apostle for questions. If you have any question concerning relationship, you know, he used to say he can counsel. If you have been there before, he can counsel us. So any question concerning your marriage, concerning your relationship? There's one question. I was telling Apostle, there's one question that used to occur then in campus fellowship. Anything relationship, how far is too far? How far is too far in a relationship? How far is not too far in a relationship? Any question? Pastor Vinisa, ask your question. It's on your mind and it's looking sick. Don't miss me after service. Hallelujah. So God expects that our relationships should be godly. God expects, I crown it with this, God expects that our relationship should be godly. If it is not God, it cannot be godly. If God is not the one sanctioning the relationship, there's nothing godly about it. If it is not God, if it is not right, it can't be righteous. The proof that it is godly is because God ordained you to be inside. If God did not ordain you to be inside, you would just be inside in the power of the flesh trying to be moral. Trying to be moral in flesh is frustration. But when you want to keep up the standard for a Christian relationship with God's backing, it is easy. I round up with, there's a message that Apostle sent to me. 2 weeks before our wedding, where I was learning work, there was a discussion with some ladies and they were talking and talking, and with boldness I was replying them. And when I got home, I sent him a message. I said, thank you for keeping this relationship godly. I had the boldness to talk today. But if the relationship was not godly, even if I had said something that is Bible-based, my mind would be telling me, what you are saying is not what you did. Even when I was working at MENA this year, they were teaching the GS1 students, and I took over the class and I was talking. And I was talking with a free mind because I know I didn't do something contrary to what I was saying. So look at yourself today and look at your relationship today, or whatever relationship you want to enter into, and ask yourself, when you finish it, when the younger generation meets you, will you with boldness tell them what you experienced, what you practiced, or you will just give them head knowledge? When you are teaching what you practiced, it will be easier. You will say it. But when you are teaching head knowledge, they say the relationship should be clean. They say, did you make it? Even God will be looking at you that, did you make it clean? Hallelujah. God expects that our relationship should be clean. He expects a relationship where he can tabernacle with you, where the two of you are holding hands to pray, and you are assured that the presence of the fourth man in the furnace is there. Not that you gather hands to pray and you claim you are speaking in tongues, but you yourself know within you that God is not accommodated here. God expects a relationship that can accommodate him in his fullness. A relationship that through which he can reach out to what. Today I can boldly walk around. I was telling my aunt yesterday that my brother was saying something, and I told him it's not like that. Like, I could boldly open my mouth and tell my brother this and this is what it is because I did it. But if I had not done it, I would not have that confidence to say it out. God expects that your relationship be godly. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. At our seated position, let's bow our hearts and talk to God. Whatever it is you have learned today, let's bow our hearts and talk to God. Realize that God has expectation from you. You have a choice to make in the chances that he has presented to you. And also know that your choice is determined the year after. Your choice is determined what comes after it. Now let's rise on our feet as we pray concerning our relationships. First, we'll be praying for as many that are trusting God for a marital relationship. A marriageable relationship. Can you make your heart desires known to God today? That Lord, before Apostle and his wife clocks 2 years in wedding, this is what I expect concerning my marital relationship. God is here to hear our prayers this evening. God is here to grant answers to that lifelong request. Every man is a being of relationship, whether male or female. We need one another. And then it becomes more serious when it comes to marital relationship. Tell it to God, Lord, I am of marriageable age and I want this to happen. I want to meet my husband. I want the introduction to be done. I want this to be done. I want that to be done. God has the answer. In his presence is the realm of all round possibilities. So entrust your relationships to God. And as many of us that are in a relationship and the storms are waging against it, can you begin to declare peace to your relationship? Any relationship you are in that you know that God is the one that led you into this relationship and it looks as if the devil is fighting the relationship, can you begin to tell God that, Lord, intervene in my relationship. Speak peace to my relationship. When Jesus is in the boat with you, smiling at the storm is possible. When Jesus is in the relationship with you, you know that you will arrive safely, regardless of what the storm is saying. When Jesus is in the relationship with you, you know that the storms will not break the boat. You will tow to land. Can you tell God that, Lord, in case there is any relationship here, represented here, or anyone you know whose relationship you are aware that God is the one that led them, and the relationship is experiencing one storm or the other, say, Father, intervene. And then lastly, we are going to be praying this prayer point. We prayed it this morning. As many that are in a relationship that will lead to pain. You know, we have talked about consequences. Some people make a choice of relationship and in the nearest future, they begin to regret the year after. Can we tell God that, Lord, as men that are in a relationship now that will lead to pain, Father, divinely interrupt the relationship. It might look painful. It might look, we call it heartbreak. It might look like the heart is breaking. But then, there will be a comfort within that God is working something in the larger picture. That Lord Jesus, in case there is any relationship represented here, or anyone that we know that the relationship is not of you, that you Lord know that in the nearest future, this my daughter, this my son will regret this relationship, will regret this marriage. Say, Father, divinely interrupt the relationship. Divinely interrupt the relationship. Then finally say, God, connect us to the right one. Connect us to the right one. Connect us to the right one. For the ladies, Lord, connect me to the right husband. For the men, Lord, connect me to the right wife. The one that will teach me to love you better. The one that will teach me to obey and to submit to your will. Lord, connect us to the right relationship that we will not miss it in our marriages. We will not miss it in our homes. We will not miss it in our marriages. We will not miss it in our relationships. We will not miss it in our finance. Even in our purpose, we will not miss it. Early discovery of purpose plus taking the right actions will give you a striking accomplishment. Say, Lord, I will not miss it. Maritally, I will not miss it. I will not miss it. Telling that, Lord, just the same way you help our fathers in faith in their marriages, you help Pastor Adeboye, you help Bishop Oyedepo, you help Dr. Paul Eleche, and you are helping Apostle Jotham. Lord, the same way you will help us, you will help me. My marriage will become a place where Christ himself is pleased to dwell in. Can we tell God that, Lord Jesus, help me to make the right choices in life. When you commit your will to God, He directs you to make the right choices. Say, Lord, help me to make the right choices. Concerning my family, that is all the relationships that you bring my way, help me to make the right choices. Concerning my finance, help me to make the right choice. Help me to invest in the right business. Help me to save the right amount. Help me to prioritize you above all else. Help me to acknowledge you as the source of all finance. Say, Lord, help me to make the right choice concerning my purpose. Help me to make the right choice. Help me to take the right step. Help me to do the right things. Lord Jesus, help me to make the right choice. A man can regret his choice, yet a man can be happy about the choice he made when he commits it to God. Say, Lord, help me to seek you first before taking any step. I refuse to go ahead of you. It is as you lead that we follow. It is what you want me to do, I will do. It is the choices you make available to me, I will take. Lord, help me to make the right choices. Help me to make the right choices. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Everlasting Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for teaching us yourself. Lord, we ask that as many that are looking up to you for a marriageable relationship, as many that are looking up to you, that you should connect them to their right spouses. Jesus, we decree that their time of favor is now in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that favor locate them concerning their marital relationships in the name of Jesus. Father, as many that are trusting you for the right one, whether male or female, in you is the ability to bring the right one, either from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That as we commit our choices to you, we know that you will help us to make the right one. Lord, we ask that you bring the right one our ways in the name.
The compass you need has just been delivered into your hands. You can get all the anointed messages on our Telegram channel at Shekinah Encounter Center Sermons. For more inquiries, you can also call 080-6522-6276 or 080-2611-2114. Remain rapturable.